Hey everyone, and this is DJ King on Music Central here on radio.dominican.edu. That's you listening to some good old-fashioned funk music. Here at Angelico Hall, I am joined here with DJ Wise, who is also the host of Musicology, and my co-host. What is going down with you?
Nothing much. I'm getting ready for a good show.
I am totally ready for a good show because you know what? I'm really happy now. You want to know why?
Why are you happy?
The mics work.
They do.
I can hear you.
I can hear everything.
And I can hear the music super well, which is great because I have some awesome music for you guys here today. So let's get started here. On the show, what we like to do is we like to pair bands together, songs and whatnot, and see which one's the best. And you know what? Whoever wins in the end doesn't truly matter. It's just that we like them better. But, you know, with last week, with, you know, whole Prince thing and Michael Jackson, amazing artist, but you know what? Prince just by a nose. One by a nose there.
One by a real nose.
And not a tiny one.
Not a tiny fake one.
All right, so I am DJ King here on Music Central. Please visit facebook.com/DJ King Music Central for updates on shows and other good stuff. Also visit DJ King Music Central.blogspot.com for exclusive stuff, songs of the day, and updates on the show. All right, so now enough selling out. Let's get started here. So on September 10th, 1991, 21 years ago, alternative rock music became mainstream with the arrival of Smells Like Teen Spirit coming into number 6, kicking and screaming all the way up to the Billboard Hot 100 number 6, which is pretty good for a band that was virtually unknown and who only had one album that, again, was more underground than Nevermind. This then led to the fantastic revival of good old-fashioned, raw, loud, crazy, and untamed rock from many different artists to come. From Radiohead to Beck to REM, Oasis, Pavement, and others. So without further ado, people, I want to play the song that started it all here on Music Central, Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana. Stay tuned. Radio.Dominican.edu. You're here on Music Central, tuning in to some 90s rock here tonight. What is the greatest 90s rock song? I mean, there are just so many, and it's rough to do, but you're going to find out by the end of the show. All right, so to give you guys a little history first on alternative rock, let's go to 1984. A lot of bands started to sign with independent music labels. REM was the first to do this in 1991 with the single Radio Free Europe, arguably the first alternative rock song ever. So basically, these artists who were going indie were influenced by 60s rock bands and decided to trail away from the futuristic, hyper-rational post-punk years like hair metal or glam rock. Throughout the 80s, while people were listening to Madonna or Michael Jackson, these bands would be underground, and it would be the escape from the pop world that was happening, and that was topping the charts back in the 80s, releasing albums and songs that would be played on college radio stations. Some would go mainstream, like REM, or Rolling Stone would do an article on one of the bands, but, you know, to tell you the truth, in the 1980s, yeah, there were a lot of alternative rock bands, but there was only one that made it to Rolling Stone on the cover, and that was REM. So after Radio Free Europe came out, Violent Femmes started coming out, Sonic Youth, Pixies, They Might Be Giants, Nine Inch Nails, Jane's Addiction, Soundgarden, overseas In the United Kingdom, they had New Order, The Smiths, U2, My Bloody Valentine, making it big there. Alternative music then had different faces. It had jangle pop, noise rock, then industrial, leading to the indie label Sub Pop, established in Seattle, where grunge rock was born in 1986. By the end of the 80s, alternative rock music was in full swing. Nirvana had released their first record in 1989 called Bleach. Then that leads to 1991, which Smells Like Teen Spirit, becoming insanely popular and getting a lot of airtime on MTV and getting played on the radio a lot. And it's Nevermind's birthday. It came out September 24th. It's kind of its birthday. 1991, it is 21 years old. Today, 21 years old. Incredible record if you have not heard of it. By 1992, it had replaced Michael Jackson's album Dangerous at number one. It replaced Michael Jackson, who was essentially the king of the 1980s, completely got pushed out by, you know, Nirvana, like the Beatles effect when Elvis got pushed off, right, Will?
Yeah, it's pretty popular.
Yeah, yeah. That's like the same thing. In the 1950s, you know, we had Elvis who was on
the
top.
The king. And the king. The two kings got pushed down.
And then finally the Beatles came and then just pushed them off, the hits chart, Billboard Hot 100, and they were just coming out with singles like that. So it was kind of like this, you know, with Nirvana pushing Michael Jackson off in 1992. Finally, 80s hair and glam metal died out by the time the 1990s came and was replaced with grunge music and alternative rock. I think the New York Times puts it best, this whole, you know, generation-changing genre that was happening during the 90s, with an article posted in 1993 saying, "Alternative rock doesn't seem so alternative anymore. Every major label has a handful of guitar-driven bands in shapeless shirts and threadbare jeans. Bands with bad posture and good riffs, who cultivate the oblique and the evasive, who conceal catchy tunes with noise and hide craftsmanship behind nonchalance." So that brings us to the 1990s, a little history for you of the alternative rock music, with bands who had a really great platform that helped them get successful, you know, bands like Radiohead, Nirvana, and all those guys, thanks to these 1980s underground alternative rock scene. So tonight, DJ Wise and I are going to find out which 90s rock song was the best from the 1990s. All right, so let's start out and let's break up alternative rock music because it just has so many faces. We had alternative British, grunge, all those ones. So tonight we're going to start with some grunge music straight from Seattle.
Oh, can I guess?
Well, yeah. You can guess who it is.
Pearl Jam.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
We looked at the screen.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so from Seattle grunge. So before we play some songs, want to let you guys know it was influenced by hardcore punk, heavy metal, and indie rock. It's a very rare raw genre that's essentially a very stripped down and dirty version of rock and roll. Many grunge musicians displayed a general disenchantment with the state of society, as well as discomfort with social prejudices, and these basic themes would show up in their music. So go to facebook.com/DJKMusicCentral to vote which of these two amazing grunge songs are best. Will and I are going to vote for these. Let's start with these two grunge songs here on radio.dominican.edu.
Thank you.
All right, so those were the first two songs who are going to compete in the category of grunge music. One was Even Flow by Pearl Jam. Highly successful song, came from the album 10. The second was In Bloom, Nevermind, extremely successful album that came up in the 1990s and also gave way for all the alternative rock bands that would soon come into the music scene. So, Will, Even Flow, Pearl Jam, or In Bloom?
Soundgarden.
No. Damn, Will.
Damn it.
I mean, got Pearly Pearly Jam, yeah, or the Pearly Seattle, Pearly. You know, the Seattle Boys.
I'm going to go with Nirvana.
You're going to go with Nirvana?
I like Mike McGready, though. That was a cool solo. Mm-hmm. I like that solo that Pearl Jam had.
Jimmy style.
That's a Stevie Ray Vaughan style, yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy, Stevie, just the psychedelic rock sound, definitely.
It's pretty bluesy, yeah. Pretty psychedelic blues, yeah.
But you're going to go with Nirvana. Why?
This is a personal bias.
just like it better.
That's just old DJ Wise talking his old cranky old man jive about Nirvana again. I like Pearl Jam, though. I think they're both great.
Yeah. All right. So we got one for In Bloom. Now, for me, I think personally, I have to go with you. In Bloom, Nirvana. Yeah, Pearl Jam was awesome. You know, 10 was great.
They're
but
both really hyped up.
Yeah, they're both. Yeah.
They're both super like.
Well, of course. Yeah. They were. What sucks about them and bands before them is that when you are pioneers.
Yeah.
You just get so much attention.
Yeah.
So much attention.
Right. I mean, and like all those. There's so many bands that just got, like, just overshadowed. I mean, look at the Melvins who, like, started Kurt Cobain's career.
Yeah.
And, like, half the people know who the Melvins are compared to Nirvana.
It's just funny that some bands have same sound and some bands have pretty good music. Some bands that are less successful have better music than the ones are. So it's just so weird that it seems like in the music scene that it's just random. I mean, do you think that Nirvana and Pearl Jam want to get that popular? I don't know.
Nirvana apparently didn't.
Yeah, well, yeah, Nirvana, definitely. I was looking at interviews with them, and I don't know. I like Kurt, but he was kind of being a
meanie poopy pants.
Yeah, a meanie poopy pants in some of his interviews. You know, talking back, I mean, like, yeah, dude, I know you're trying to do this whole cool
thing.
He's
too cool for
this. Yeah, I'm too cool for, you know, Rolling Stones. Yeah, microphones. Yeah, exactly. All right, so In Bloom won that one. Here's the second grunge one. All right, okay, so we are back there. So, here for the grunge, we have Spoon Man, Soundgarden. This Is a Call, Foo Fighters. All right, Will, who is it going to be? Don't give me that look.
I'm smirking. I'm going to have to go with the Garden of Sound.
Why not Foo Fighters?
I don't like people fighting Foo.
Foo Fighters, bro. Yeah. Tank tops and
fifth grade.
But all right, so I mean, I'm gonna have to go with you again. Foo, the Soundgarden. Now, In Bloom.
In Bloom.
Or Spoon Man.
Oh, who's, there we go. Alice in Chains. No, I'll probably go with. Jeez, I'll go with Soundgarden. I'll go with Spoon Man. Spumoni.
Hmm. I still have to go with In Bloom.
I know.
Oh, man. Okay.
I like a hard
we'll return. We'll return to that segment later. Right now, here's the news. It is 8:30 here on radio.dominican.edu. Here's the news. All right, so news story number one. The 64th annual Emmys kicked off Sunday night in Hollywood, California, hosted by Jimmy Kimmel, with surprises that night with Homeland beating Breaking Bad, Mad Men, Boardwalk Empire, Downton Abbey, and Game of Thrones for Best Drama Series. What the heck? Why not Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad? But, well, I mean, I've not seen Homeland, so it better be freaking good if it's going to beat Breaking Bad or Game of Thrones. It also won Best Actor and Actress in a Drama Series with Claire Danes and Damian Lewis. Another show that topped the night was Modern Family, winning for Best Comedy, Best Supporting Actress, and Actor in Comedy. Other highlights included when Jon Stewart came up to receive his award for Outstanding Variety Music or Comedy Series, and Jimmy Fallon and Steve Colbert tackled Jon Stewart right there as he was getting up from his chair. Jon Stewart really tried to get away, but the other two were really grabbing at his legs, and it was very funny. Just I love to see how those guys are just having a good time and not even caring to act as elegant as all the other actors and actresses there. Aaron Paul won Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Drama Series for Breaking Bad, which is awesome because, like I said, Breaking Bad, great show. And he was genuinely surprised. Hear for yourself.
And the Emmy goes to Aaron Paul, Breaking Bad.
Born in Idaho, Aaron Paul worked as an usher in a movie theater before his success as an actor. This is his second Emmy win and third nomination.
Oh my God. I truly didn't even attempt to prepare a speech. I cannot believe I'm standing on the stage, let alone just in this room. Giancarlo Esposito, I am so honored to share this category with you and the rest of the other brilliant actors. Vince Gilligan, thank you so much. And the rest of the writers, thank you so much for not killing me off. That was the plan. My parents, thank you so much for kicking me out of the house and telling me to chase this dream. And I can't believe it. You know, I'm from Idaho, and I moved out here. We're in a room full of people just chasing our dreams. And so thank you, Hollywood, for allowing me to be a part of your group. Locke Powell, my manager, I love you so much. And last but certainly not least, my beautiful, most inspiring fiance, Lauren. Thank you so much for looking at me the way you do. You truly have saved me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So, yeah. So, that was Aaron Paul winning at the Emmys, at the 64th annual Emmys here on ABC. And it's great. I mean, Breaking Bad is such a great show if you have not seen it. It's on Netflix. I believe 4 seasons are on there. They just finished their 5th. Great show. Listen to it after this show. So, news story number 2. Now, this is not news per se. And in 41 days, if you are over 18 and have registered to vote, you will be voting for the next president. Depending on how that goes, history will be made. And I want to talk to you about Obama. the 44th president of the United States of America, and the first African American to hold office. It's been 4 years now, and he wants four more, so let's go through Obama's accomplishments if you don't already know. After five presidents over the century failed to create universal health care, Obama successfully passed the Affordable Care Act, which will cover 32 million uninsured Americans beginning in 2014. Obama also successfully eliminated Osama bin Laden. In 2011, Obama ordered special forces to raid bin Laden's secret compound in Pakistan. There, the terrorist leader was killed and a bunch of al-Qaeda documents were discovered. Obama also ended the 1990s-era Don't Ask, Don't Tell restriction and formalized a new policy allowing gays and lesbians to serve openly in the military for the first time ever. He passed a mini-stimuli that helped families hurt by the recession and spurred the economy as stimulus spending declined by signing a series of measures in July and in December of 2010, and in December of 2011 to extend unemployment insurance and cut payroll taxes. But I am not saying that the guy is perfect. Yeah, he promised a lot of things, and everyone was expecting that. Obama promised to lower unemployment if Congress passes stimulus package in 2009 and to reduce both federal deficit and nation's debt. The unemployment rate, however, stands at 8.3%. Unemployment has gotten better when Obama took office, but not by much and not enough to call his bills as he signed in law super successful. So there you have it. That is Barack Obama. Vote, please, in about 41 days. For the next president, because it will affect you if you are living and not living in the United States. News story number three, support is growing for a proposed Colorado amendment to legalize marijuana, a new poll released Wednesday shows. And the referendum could upheld the former member of the Choom Gang, who is currently occupying the White House, according to TPM. The latest survey from Democratic-leaning public policy polling, PPP, shows that 47% of likely Colorado voters support Amendment 64, which will appear in the state ballot in November. That's a small uptick since PPP's June survey, which showed 46% support, but opposition to the measure is dropping. Only 38% of voters opposed Amendment 64 in Wednesday's poll, down from 42% in June. If passed, Amendment 64 would treat marijuana similarly to alcohol. Colorado adults 21 and over could consume and possess limited amounts of marijuana for personal use, while licenses would be provided for producers and sellers. The law would levy a tax on marijuana, with the first $40 million of the revenue generated to be earmarked for the public school construction. Washington and Oregon will also vote on marijuana legalization measures in the fall, but most drug reform advocates believe that Colorado represents the best opportunity for an electoral breakthrough. Mason Tvert, co-director of the campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol, was quoted, "There is a third-party candidate who's actually supportive of marijuana policy reform. So Gary Johnson provides an option to some voters who feel strongly about the issue." Tvert might have a point about Johnson's effect on the Colorado race. PPP on Tuesday showed the former Republican governor of New Mexico, who's running for president on the Libertarian ticket, claiming 6% support among likely Colorado voters. That's still a low level of support, but it's enough to impact the prospects of both major party candidates. For example, PPP showed Obama leading Romney by 6 points in a head-to-head match, but only 4 points when Johnson was in the mix. Johnson supporters are far more apt to support Amendment 64 than Obama or Romney voters. PPP's latest news shows that 59% of responders who gave the nod to Obama support the amendment, compared with only 27% of Romney supporters. A staggering 79% of Johnson voters, however, supported Amendment 64, 79 for that guy. And hopefully all goes well, because it's time this country woke up and smelled the weed plants, people. The CDC reports that between 1999 and 2007, there were only 26 deaths with marijuana as an underlying case in the United States. Compare that to alcohol, which kills 2.5 million people a year. So, to get that in perspective, that's like Chicago's population dropping dead right now as we speak. every year. So when it comes to smoking, most statistics, and this is hilarious, said that it will take 800 joints in a short period of time to actually overdose a person to death. 800. So, all right, two things with that. One, if you're an actual stoner, you are not going to have the time or patience to roll 800. And second, before you get to, say, number 16, you're going to pass out and sleep like a baby and probably wake up the next day at 2 p.m. Your stomach hungry, and you'll just eat some food. Compared to 2.5 million Americans who will, not Americans, but people all around the world who we will not see ever again. And that was our news segment here on radio.dominican.edu. This is Music Central with DJ King. And now, back to our segment. It is 8:40, and we are going to continue to find out what is the best British rock song, alternative rock song of the 1990s here on radio.dominican.edu. Please go to my Facebook page to vote for the best British alternative rock song here on radio.dominican.edu.
just wanna fly. Lately, did you ever feel the pain in the morning rain as it soaks you to the bone? Or maybe I just wanna fly, wanna live but don't wanna die. Maybe I just wanna breathe, maybe I just don't believe. Maybe you're the same as me, we see things I'll never see.
Radio.Dominican.edu. Music Central, you're here on the music station from Angelico Hall, Penguin Radio, all that stuff. But of course, what is the greatest 90s rock song? We are trying to decide that here on Radio.Dominican.edu. If you just joined us here, I'm here with DJ Wise of Musicology, which is next after this show. Stay tuned for that. 50s, come on, it'll blow your pants off. But first, we gotta do something else. So, Will, Oasis or Radiohead?
Oh, jeez. You're putting this one on me now.
Yeah. By the way, Soundgarden, I chose, is my favorite. So it's winning so far.
So it's winning?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
So Radiohead or Oasis, come on, dude.
Oh, jeez. do I want the two annoying brothers?
Do I want the John Lennon wannabes?
Do I want the John Lennon wannabes and the Johnny Marr lookalikes? Or do I want, well, I want the best-selling band of all time.
I have to agree with you.
I'll go with Radiohead.
It's going to be Radiohead. So far, it's going to be Radiohead versus Soundgarden here tonight. The next one is, which of these two are the better hardcore songs here on radio.dominican.edu? All right, so which of those two 90s hard rock songs is better? Is it going to be New York's Sonic Youth or LA's Rage Against the Machine? Oh, man, we're picking sides here, dude.
That one's not fair.
Versus West. Which one is it going to be?
That's, oh, my God.
You got to make a decision for the sake of the show. Kurt Cobain's listening tonight,
speaking
dude.
Speaking my language.
Kurt Cobain is listening tonight. From the dead. Of course he's in heaven.
Of course.
So
he's in grunge heaven.
LA
versus
New York.
It's not really that, but it's dude, you're killing me here. This is the one that gets me.
Yeah.
You want to go first this time? You know what? You go first.
Okay, all right.
Because you know I love these bands.
Okay.
These are two of my favorite bands.
Killing in the Name. It's powerful. It's just Woodstock 99. You know what Rage Against the Machine did on stage? Burn the American flag.
They did. One time they got naked and they just played Feedback.
There you go. So, I mean, Woodstock 99. I mean, holy crap. What the hell?
What happened, man?
Why did everyone start punching each other? There were rapes.
Really?
Yeah, there were rapes. Damn. At Woodstock 99.
Yeah,
Rage Against the Machine.
I bet. No, it was. It's.
Yeah, it's terrible to say, but holy crap.
Oh.
Oh. And then now there's no more Woodstock.
Now we have Carly Jaspin calling me.
Yeah. Oh God.
No, I think they should get together. Jeez. Oh my God.
Woodstock 2012 featuring Carly Rae Jepsen.
I love both albums. Those are two of my favorite albums ever. Damn. Jeez. Oh my God. You're getting me here. I want to say Killing in the Name of, just because that was probably something I listened to.
Definitely.
Before, like when I was a little bit younger, and I really liked that band from an early age, or from at least high school. And then,
hardcore.
And then Sonic Youth kind of came later, but they're just like Dirty is just, or Goo, I'm sorry, is like
Dirty. It's something like that.
Dirty is the
Dust
other
Bunnies
album.
Was their greatest album.
Dust Bunnies and.
Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean.
Gotta
all
love that.
Classics.
All right, so.
But I'll go with Killing Him. But,
awesome.
But as albums, I'll go with Sonic Youth's Goo.
Man, we are just, we are Californians. I'm LA, you know, Rage Against the Machine.
San Francisco, yeah.
Well, okay, well, yeah.
There's the difference.
All right. All right, so you guys thought it was only the guys doing it out there? With all the guitar work,
with all the guitar work and the genitals.
Yeah. No.
Nope.
Women were out there too. So, which of these two hardcore chicks is better? So we're back on here on radio.wdk.edu. So, well, Hole or Alanis Morissette. Is that how you say her name? Morissette?
Morissette?
Morissette. All right. Well, clearly, I don't know that.
I'm kind of ashamed of that. Oh, jeez. You're throwing some hard ones at me. Hole and Alanis Morissette. Let's see. My two idols. I don't want to pick either of them.
Oh, come on.
I'm going to go with Kim Gordon from the Pixies.
All right.
Or Kim Deal.
Okay.
Or Kim Deal.
Yeah, you're going to.
Both great bassists and singers and sexy.
Well, you know what?
Can I do that?
Yeah, you can do that. This is radio.
This is radio, man.
You can do anything on radio. And you know what? Courtney Love, I'm going to just have to go with him too. All right. Yes. We're going to just have to add that here on the list. Pixies are now competing with Killing in the Name, Radiohead.
Take that.
And Soundgarden here.
I just made that happen.
All right, cool. So
Musicology,
Music Central, everything that you want.
Everything you need.
These next two songs are two hits. Two large hits of the 1990s. Great songs.
Great songs.
It wouldn't be the 90s without them. So without further ado, Music Central here on radio.dominican.edu. Please don't go anywhere. We're going to about decide what the best 90s rock song is.
Dog food skulls with the beefcake pantyhose. Kill the headlights and put it in neutral. of the oven in the bag with the rerun shows and the cocaine noja, the daytime crap of the folk singer's club. He hung himself with a guitar string, a slab of turkey neck, and it's hanging from a pigeon wing. But get right if you can't relate. Trade the cash for the beat, for the body, for the hate. And my time is a piece of wax falling on a termite who's choking on the splinters. So we'll be right back.
All right, so here we are on radio.dominican.edu. Loser, Beck, Santeria, Sublime. So, Will, the last two of the night, which one is the better one? Good old Beck?
Good old Beck.
Or Sublime?
Jeez. I wish I could just put both of them together. I like Beck better.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, well, if you're going to go with Beck, I think that I will go with, actually, Sublime for Santeria. So, we are down to...
Are we talking about the song or the...
Well, band? I mean the song.
Oh, okay, yeah. Then Beck. Yeah.
Yeah, then Beck for Loser. All right, so here are the guys who made it final place.
They
it was a good it
winners.
Was a good fight. All right, so we got Soundgarden, Spoon Man, Radiohead's Electioneering, Killing the Name, Rage Against the Machine, any Pixies song ever. Loser, Beck.
I like that option.
Or Santeria, Sublime. So which of these artists first can we weed out? Let's choose one so far. Which one can we weed out?
Well, I guess if we had to.
If we had to.
Oh, my. That's not easy. I'll go.
Really?
Okay.
Dude.
I'll take out Soundgarden.
All right. So, yeah, I agree with you.
I'll take out Soundgarden.
All right. So.
Sorry, if you're, Chris Cornell.
All right. If you're taking out Soundgarden, then I'm taking out.
No.
I'll take out some Beck. He's had his run. He's had his run.
He tried.
All right, so who would you take out of these guys now?
Okay, we got Radiohead. We got
Killing in the Name, Rage Against the Machine.
Any Pixies song ever. Let's attach
a 90s Pixies song.
Bossa Nova, I think, is 1980s.
Yeah, Bossa Nova is 1990s.
1989, or is it?
It's 1990.
Okay, which,
what am I thinking? And I think Surfer Rosa... 89?
That might be 89, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm getting them mixed up, yeah.
Yeah.
Please call in and complain too if we're wrong.
Yeah.
We can do, how about, we'll take out Sublime.
Because
I was never there for that.
Yeah, definitely.
I like Sublime.
Great band,
but
they're somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, this is great though. Okay, we got Rage, Pixies, Radiohead.
We'll take out Rage.
You'll take out Rage, great. Yeah. Okay, awesome.
Sorry, Rage.
All right, cool.
Don't be angry.
Electioneering, or what was the song you said?
Well, we didn't pick a song.
We
said any Pixies song.
But it has to be in the 90s.
Didn't you play two Radiohead songs? You played
Just and Electioneering. Yeah. So either Just or Electioneering.
Or any Pixies song ever. What are you doing to me?
I don't know. I don't even know how we even made it over here because...
They weren't even on the list when we...
They started. Weren't even on the list. That's how awesome the Pixies are.
Duke Ellington. How about... Oh, my goodness. I want to...
Well, I mean, we got... Okay, so on one side, we got Radiohead, which was, first of all, extremely popular.
Right.
Second of all, they had so much influence. And the thing is that they were kind of like a genre of themselves sometimes, too.
Yeah.
But this is just 90s, though.
You're right. No.
So they were still, you know, rocking out.
Those, like, the Bends and OK Computer.
For the 90s, we can choose Valoria, Dig for Fire for Pixies.
I'm digging for fire.
Or Valoria. I think I want to do some. Valoria. Yeah, Valoria.
We got DeBazer.
Man, dude.
It was.
They just can't. I cannot crown one.
It was. Jeez.
I think for the sake maybe of the 90s, give it to Radiohead.
Okay.
They were there.
No, I'll give it to.
Pixies were in the 80s.
That's the funny thing is
Doolittle.
People don't know that about us is that I like the Pixies.
I am.
You are a much bigger Radiohead fan.
It makes sense why we came to this ending.
I think with whatever genre we do, it's going to end up between Radiohead and the Pixies from now on.
Yo, dude. Doolittle 89.
Best funk artist. No.
Doolittle 89. They belong to the 80s. Pixies. I'm sorry.
Get out of here. All right, go ahead.
All right, well.
Take your radio take your head's radio and get out of here.
Okay, guys. So since I get to choose, I'm going to choose Just. Great song. Just Cause. It's a great song off an amazing album. And our winner tonight, which is awesome, of the greatest rock song of the 90s. But I got to give it to the Pixies. They are awesome, too. Gotta love them.
Don't patronize them.
Hey, Doolittle and Surfer Rosa. We can both agree on that.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so this is radio.dominican.edu. In about 5 minutes, Musicology will be on the air. Please do not leave for that. Come on. I know you want to stay.